Coming up today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie's guest, author Randy Alcorn, discusses the biblical view of happiness.
Sometimes what we say is, okay, happiness is based on circumstances and we shouldn't base our life on circumstances. Well, that's a half truth. What is the reality of my life in Christ? I am told in Romans 8 that nothing shall separate us from Christ's love. And that's the true circumstance of my life.
I love that.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again, you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
And glad you're along today here on A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie. It's a special edition of the broadcast today, Pastor Greg. We have a guest with us here in the studio. Why don't you make the proper introduction?
Well, let's see here. Randy Alcorn is the founder and director of Eternal Perspective Ministries and the New York Times bestselling author of 40 books, including Heaven, If God is Good, and many others. I have to tell you that if there's an expert on the subject of heaven, it's Randy Alcorn. Now, the only authoritative source on the topic, of course, is the Bible. But the reason I love Randy's book above all other books on the subject of the afterlife is everything Randy Alcorn says is based on Scripture. Randy Alcorn is a theologian. He's a great student of Scripture. But what distinguishes him is he also writes fiction. Now, that may seem like those two things would contradict each other, but actually they're very complementary. Because as a writer, he's able to convey things in an understandable way, in a poetic way, in a picturesque way. Therefore, he takes that which is often perceived as complex and makes it understandable. And I think his book on heaven is a definitive volume. And now he's written a new book, and the topic of it is happiness. Now, I just want to tell you right now, I'm reading this book. If you think you know about happiness, you're going to find out there's a lot you don't know. I've already learned so much from reading it. What the Bible says about happiness, does God want us to be happy? Is God happy? So much more to talk about, but enough with introductions. Randy, welcome, and thank you for being on A New Beginning.
Thanks, Greg. It's just a pleasure to be with you. I love Harvest. I love everything you do there, and it's just a joy to be with you.
Thanks so much, Randy. Let me just dive in with a couple of questions. Why did you write a book on happiness? And if you would, please define happiness for us. Maybe give us sort of the secular version. And then more importantly, what does the Bible say?
Well, I think the subject of happiness is so critically important. When you look at Isaiah 52, it's talking about the gospel, and Paul quotes it in Romans, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness." Now, that's the ESV, and the ESV doesn't use the word happiness that often, but it uses tons of synonyms. Many translations use the word happiness a lot. Happiness is part of the gospel. Luke talks about the good news of great joy that the angels bring to the shepherds. And the gospel is so much about bringing a deliverance from sin, yes, but the result is not only our holiness, but our personal happiness. And there's a tendency, the reason I wrote the book is there's a tendency sometimes for Christians to minimize happiness.
Yeah.
We focus so much on what people in the world are doing and people are trying to find happiness in sin. Well, the problem isn't that they're trying to be happy. We're wired to be happy. God made us to be happy. The problem is when we seek happiness in the wrong places, in sin, rather than in the right place, in Christ.
In your book, you make an amazing statement, and this will blow some people's minds. You say that God is happy. Now, I think some perceive God that way, but frankly, I think a lot of others do not perceive him that way at all. You know, you think of the passage that says, "The Lord your God in the midst of you is mighty. He'll rejoice over you with singing." And then the blessing that the priest would give to the people, "The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face smile upon you." I don't think a lot of people perceive God as smiling or singing, but the Bible gives us a different picture, doesn't it?
It really does. And I think part of our problem is we do see the passages which are there and are important about God's holiness, his wrath, his judgment on sin, the fact that he is displeased or unhappy with sin. However, what we forget is that before the universe existed, and before there was sin, before there was the fall, before Satan and the demons fell, before Adam and Eve fell, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit lived together in complete and utter happiness and harmony, and that still continues. That has never stopped. And then we're told that ultimately God will take away all sin. He will wipe away the tears from every eye. We're told that in Revelation 21. And then there will be no more sin or evil. So in other words, the things which God is displeased with are temporary in nature. Before and after, at the beginning of the story and at the end of the story that will never end, there will be nothing to displease God. And his predominant attribute of happiness, which the Puritans talked about a lot, is going to be something that just pervades the entire universe.
Randy, I particularly like the how-to dimension of your book. And in your introduction, I thought one of the key paragraphs was this one, if you don't mind me reading it to you. Great. You said, "I'd be the last person to write a breezy book on happiness that ignores life's difficulties and denies the struggles of living in a fallen world. But by God's grace, as the years have passed, I've experienced a more consistent, heartfelt gladness and delight in Christ. That, not perpetual and unsustainable ecstasy, is what this book is about. Rest assured, this book is not about pasting on a false smile in the midst of heartache. It's about discovering a reasonable, attainable, and delightful happiness in Christ that transcends difficult circumstances." So what you're saying in the book is we can find a higher level of happiness by understanding the biblical principles that you lay out. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely, because Paul talked about being sorrowful yet always rejoicing. It's interesting. He didn't say rejoicing yet always being sorrowful. He put the emphasis on the rejoicing. And we are commanded, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And by the way, that word means to be glad, to be happy. Those are synonyms, to delight, to find pleasure in. So joy is not this word. The Hebrew and Greek words that are translated joy are synonyms with happiness. So it could just as easily be translated, be happy in the Lord. Again, I say be happy, but notice what we're to be happy in. We're to be happy in the Lord. Now, if we base our happiness upon the circumstances of our life, when hard things come our way, we will lose our happiness, we will lose our joy. But sometimes what we say is, okay, happiness is based on circumstances and we shouldn't base our life on circumstances. Well, that's a half-truth. We shouldn't in the way we normally think of as circumstances. But if we think of circumstances as being the realities of our life, what is the reality of my life in Christ? I am told in Romans 8 that not only did he go to the cross and pay for my sins, but we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The God who did all this for us in Christ, how much more will he do for us? Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ, not life, not death. Nothing in all creation shall separate us from Christ's love. And that's the true circumstance of my life.
So extending that then, what about the people we know who are locked in some kind of a tough situation of their life? They're in the midst of some real trial and suffering. What can we tell them about happiness?
I think we tell the person who is suffering, you are living in a period of your life where the world is under sin, the world is under the fall, the realities of life. We're told in Scripture, do not be surprised, friends, at the fiery trials that you are enduring as though something strange were happening to you. We're told that by Peter in 1 Peter 4. And so when we face these difficult life circumstances, we need to realize that God is with us in those circumstances. Jesus knows and understands our pain. He experienced more pain than any person has in all history. But we should be defined by the future that God has laid out for us and the present indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who is also a happy spirit, the indwelling by Christ who intercedes for us, and the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. This is the present. In a sense, we front load back to our present circumstances the reality of who we are or what our eternity is to be in Jesus.
What about Christians and depression? Is that some kind of a barometric reading on their faith? You know, are faith and depression mutually exclusive?
No. Charles Spurgeon is an example of someone who's had a great impact on my life. He battled with depression his whole life. I've experienced depression. There are godly people who take medications to deal with their depression, and I think that's fine. We just need to realize that, no, depression is not a sign of unspirituality, but I do think that when we are depressed, there are things that are true that we can look at in God and His Word that can bring to us the joy that we're commanded to experience.
Let me just ask a real simple question. Someone might be listening right now. We're talking a lot about happiness. Just very quickly, for someone that maybe just tuned in, define happiness and tell a person right now that's listening how to obtain personal happiness in the right way.
I think the best way to define happiness is to just use its synonyms. And you see that dictionaries do this. If you look up happiness, you'll see joy, gladness, merriment, delight, pleasure. These are all overlapping words in the English, just as the Hebrew and Greek words used in the Bible are overlapping words. Their meanings are complementary to each other. So you define happiness by these other things. And we all know happiness when we see it and when we experience it. As far as finding happiness, God is the primary. Happiness begins and ends in God Himself. It's part of His eternal nature. And that's why it's such a paradigm shift when believers come to understand that the God that created them is a happy God and therefore approves of our happiness and invites us to enter into His happiness. So once we see that and once we associate the gospel with the good news of happiness, which Scripture tells us it is, then we can embrace that happiness and not feel guilty about it, and not feel guilty about wanting to be happy. And then we can take the secondary things in life that are not the primary, only God is the primary, but the secondary things in life are beautiful things that God has given us. He's given us family, and He's given us friends, and He's given us the church, the body of Christ. He's given us a job to do. He's given us a beautiful creation. He's given us animals as pets, and that we can enjoy this world. And we should feel good about that. We should worship God and glorify God as we enjoy the pleasures of Himself manifested in His creation.
I love that. And, you know, doesn't the Scripture say that He's given us all things richly to enjoy? And
exactly.
As we put God first in our life, all these things are added to us. The joy we really want, the happiness we desire, it's all there in a relationship with God. And if you've just tuned in, I'm talking with Randy Alcorn, the author of our brand new book on the subject of happiness. This is a book that every Christian should have in their library. By the way, this is 450 pages. There's so much material, so much great information, but we're also adding, in addition to this large book, a smaller book that's called God's Promise of Happiness. In fact, this is a great little companion. You would certainly enjoy reading it yourself, but this would be a great book to give to a friend who's not a Christian yet. It's a book that's evangelistic in nature. So if you'll contact us, we'll send you this month Randy's new book on the topic of happiness and the smaller book called God's Promise of Happiness to give out to someone else. And we'll offer this to you for your gift of any size to our ministry to help us continue to preach the gospel and tell people how to come into this happy relationship with the God who created them.
Well, Randy, there's a growing segment of our audience here on A New Beginning who have suffered loss. These are people that really resonate with Pastor Greg because he recently suffered the loss of his son. And I'm just acutely aware of the fact that they're carrying a heavy load of emotional baggage. And maybe we need to speak to them in a slightly different way about their need, their desire for happiness. What would your book tell them about how to find happiness once again?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do when we've experienced great and traumatic loss, like Greg with his son Christopher, the losses that each of us have had in our lives and losses to come. And sometimes it's the loss of health. Sometimes it's the loss of employment. Sometimes it's a scandal. Maybe sin was involved, but oftentimes it's just the things of life that bring us down. I think what we need to realize in those times that God is with us. He says, "Lo, I am with you always. I will never desert you. I will never forsake you." So don't deny the reality of your loss. Embrace it. And also, at the same time, affirm what Scripture tells us, which is that this God who rules the universe is a happy God, and He endured the miseries of the cross precisely so that we would not have to pay an eternal price for our sin. He paid that for us on the cross. So now in Him, we can find personal comfort. He loves us. He cares for us. He intercedes for us. He promises that all things will work together for our good ultimately. And I think then we need to give ourselves permission to grieve. You see grieving in Scripture. You saw it in the life of Jesus. You saw it in the life of Paul. None of the affirmations about happiness and joy that we're making, none of the biblical call to rejoice in the Lord always and rejoice in all circumstances denies the reality of pain and grief. God understands it, and in fact, God endured it more than any other person in human history in the person of Christ on the cross.
That's great. You know, I think, Randy, when you go through loss like we went through and others have gone through, you know, you feel so sad that you wonder if you'll ever be happy again. And then when you're momentarily happy, you feel bad for feeling good. And you know, you struggle with this, but I came to realize that you can be sorrowful, as the Scripture says, yet rejoicing. You have moments of happiness, and as time passes, you never get over a child's death or perhaps a spouse's death or others, but you do get through it, but you realize you can be happy again, and you can know this joy of the Lord, and so there is hope, you know, there is hope in even the darkest circumstances, and I think if a person were to get hold of this new book you've written on the subject of happiness, it would really help them get a perspective and get a biblical worldview on this topic and learn how to experience it in a real way, not the fleeting temporary happiness that might come from an illicit high or a sinful choice, but a real lasting, abiding happiness, blessedness, joy that comes from a relationship with God through Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. And I think what you said there, Greg, is so important. And I, you know, Scripture talks about the passing pleasures of sin in Hebrews 11. It doesn't deny that sin can have pleasure for a moment, but it's the lasting happiness. It's the happiness that's real and deep and will outlive this life. That's a happiness in Christ. And again, think of what it means that He would say to us after we die and we've served Him in this world, redeemed by His grace, not through any works we have done, and yet that He would say to His servant, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into your master's happiness," a happiness that preceded the creation of the world and will endure forever, a happiness that is just delightful and will overflow in the new heavens and the new earth, and every day we'll discover more and new and fresh reasons to be happy in the God that we love, the God who made us, the God who redeemed us in Christ.
Well, Randy, maybe there's somebody listening right now that is, they're just depressed. Maybe it's because of something that's happened. Maybe it's not anything in particular, but they're just down. And they're hearing us speak about happiness, and it's almost making them a little more unhappy because they don't feel it's attainable. but we're saying to them, it is. Maybe you could just say a quick word about how they can know this happiness, and then perhaps, if you wouldn't mind, lead us all in a prayer where we could ask the Lord to help us find this happiness he promises in Scripture.
There are many passages in Scripture that affirm the happiness that there is in Christ and the happiness that comes through meditating on God's Word and clinging to God's promises. God's promises are true. We can count on them. We can take them to the bank, and that's what we need to do. And let's pray together. Father, we come to you realizing that many people in this listening audience are struggling. There are people whose spouses left them. There are people who are going through a divorce. There are people whose child has leukemia. People who are dying of cancer, or a close friend has betrayed them, they've lost their job. Lord, we lift these people up to you, and we thank you that your word does not call us to deny the reality of our present sufferings, but it does tell us that these present sufferings aren't worth being compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. And Lord, thank you too that you call us to rejoice here and now. You don't just tell us that one day we'll be happy, but meanwhile we've got to be miserable our lives here on earth. But instead, in the midst of difficulty, you have given us the means in Christ to rejoice, to contemplate his redemptive work and the depths of his love. And Scripture tells us nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. God, I pray that you touch every hurting person and any of those who don't know Jesus. We pray that they would turn to him, that you would do a work of grace in their hearts and draw them to yourself, and that they would experience in you the happiness that the world talks about but ultimately does not experience and cannot offer because it's only found in you. We lift them up to you, Lord. We pray for your grace in their lives and in ours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, that's Randy Alcorn, author of the new books, Happiness and God's Promise of Happiness. And he's Pastor Greg Laurie's special guest today here on A New Beginning. And we want to make available Randy's book, in fact, both of them. To say thank you for your gift of any size, we want to send you the book, Happiness, more than 450 pages of insight on what happiness is and how to find it. And we also want to send the smaller resource, God's Promise of Happiness. This way, you can have one for yourself, and there's one to give away to a friend or family member. So for your generous gift today, we'll send you both books, Happiness and God's Promise of Happiness. And we appreciate your support. We're only here because listeners like you have helped make it possible. We don't have any churches or large organizations paying all the bills. It's just the generosity of listeners. So thanks for your donation today in whatever amount the Lord leads and enables. Write us today at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call us at 1-800-821-3300. 1-800-821-3300. And you can order online at harvest.org. Also at our website, you can download any of Pastor Greg's broadcast studies free of charge. If you like to maximize the time you spend taking a walk or working out at the gym or commuting, then fill up your media player with good teaching from God's Word. You'll find those studies in our archives at radio.harvest.org. Again, they're free. Download as many as you'd like. Next time, we return to Pastor Greg's series in Ephesians called Live, Love, Fight, with insight on the persistence and patience it takes to walk successfully day by day with the Lord. That's next time. Pastor Greg?
Well, Randy, I want to thank you again for coming on the program. Just once again, just amazing insights into God's Word on such an important topic, happiness. We'll all look forward to reading this book. I hope the folks listening will order their copy. And man, just keep doing what you're doing. You're a gift to the church and a blessing to so many, and especially to our family. So thank you, Randy.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you for Harvest Ministries, this radio program, the Crusades, the churches. It's just a pleasure to be a partner with you in God's Kingdom Ministries.
Thanks so much.